Welcome to the With a Dog podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Carly.
And I'm Izzy. We find answers to all your dog questions so you can get the most out of life with a dog. So, With a Dog Wednesday!
Whoop whoop! With a Dog Wednesday! I'm too full to record now.
Carly tried to make me dinner after I made her a fabulous spread on Sunday. And it was a fail. Dairy-free cauliflower crust pizza that had a soggy bottom. And if anyone watches Great British Bake Off, the one thing you don't do is have a soggy bottom.
No soggy. It's so bad. It was so depressing. I was trying to cook it in like our new oven that's like microwave oven. It can do both. But you know what? It was fine because we have no other food in the house besides some rice. So Izzy was like, can you just scrape the top off and put it on some rice?
And it was great.
It was fine.
It was actually like really great.
Yeah. It tasted good.
Yeah.
2 hours later. And yeah. Now I'm really full.
And yeah, I'm tired now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's what's happening with us.
Yeah.
What's going on in your life, Izzy?
My life, my super exciting life right now. Not much. Made a pie with my berries. Gave you some. So yeah. You can tell the listeners about your experience. Because Paul Hollywood from British Bake Off, that's the judge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Paul Hollywood would be like turning over and being like, yeah, there ain't no soggy bottom on this pie.
There was not a soggy bottom in sight on Izzy's pie. It was delicious. I had half. And I shared it with other people, kind of.
It's okay. You don't have to lie to us. Yeah. I know it was that
good. It was so good. We posted a picture on the Instagram. Go look at that. The presentation.
Yeah. The presentation.
Spot on.
I was pretty happy with that.
I didn't know what the outside was. Like.
The crust?
No, the triangle-y part. Like on the presentation. It was apple.
Yes, yeah. It was apple.
And so yeah. I was like, but it was covered in like the berry compote, like it was red. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Is it apple? Because it's like in the shape of an apple. I was like, I didn't know if it was like a plum or something.
Oh, yeah. It did look kind of plumish.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing.
It's like a surprise pie.
It is a surprise pie. I only made it because Chase has never had blackberry and apple, the combo.
I feel like that's not.
Oh, my God. Thing. It's such a great combo. You Americans.
Yeah, I don't think I've had that until the pie either. Game changing.
Yeah, so pretty excited about that. I'm probably going to go berry picking again at some point this week. Maybe rhubarb strawberry.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned blackberry habanero last time.
Yeah, we're all waiting for this. Jam. That was a jam flavor, not a pie flavor.
That's true.
So, but speaking of peppers, I've got this banging pepper plant right now. And so you may have seen earlier, I don't know, it was a few weeks ago. I was like, whoa, I've had one pepper. Well, now I've got like 12 peppers growing on this little plant. One of them is turning orange. And I'm really excited because I actually have no idea what a banana pepper looks like.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because it's growing. It's growing. It's orange. I'm pretty sure it's going to turn yellow. I'm not sure when.
I meant to tell you about this. God, this is... I'm sorry, everyone. Our podcast intro is so fucking boring. We're just talking about like fruits and veg right now. It's, you know what? Just bear with us. We'll get to it. I promise. But we have a little vegetable garden in our new house that was like already here. And so I've just been watering it. I haven't done anything else. I don't even know what's growing there besides like some tomatoes. But I've been watering it every day, doing the bare minimum. And some tomatoes are starting to turn, like they're starting to turn to red now. And yay! I'm like... Oh my God, I did nothing. And there's vegetables here. Like, oh my God.
We don't have to buy tomatoes.
All we did was buy a really expensive house. That's all you need to do to get free tomatoes.
I like that you just said tomatoes.
I know. Have you seen those memes where it's like you just turn into whoever like you're the main character in a book is or like a movie is that you really like that you watch over and over? That's
no.
me. Like okay, that's literally me. Like every time I watch like Pride and Prejudice or read anything like that.
Hello. Good day, mate.
In my mind, my internal dialogue becomes a different language.
That's weird.
I was watching a French like movie the other day. Mm-hmm. You're speaking
then
French.
Then you dreamt in French?
No, I in my internal dialogue was French, but I didn't know what it was. It sounds so weird.
crying again. I think this is going to be a weekly thing.
We cry in this episode, too.
Oh, well, we do. This? Yeah, we cry.
It's been a traumatic week. You need to hear my spider story.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone,
yeah, okay. Enough about the berries.
Berries.
Let's move on to their predator.
The spider. The spider.
Do spiders even eat berries? I
don't know. They make berry bushes their home and trees, as I discovered. So this is, okay, I share this on my Instagram. So anyone who's also on my Instagram, I'm sorry if you're hearing this twice. I asked my husband, I was like, oh my God, like I ran to the spider. He's like, I know, I saw it on your Instagram. I was like, oh, you saw my spider story? And he's like, everyone saw your spider story, Carly. Like, it was fine.
And now we're going to tell all of our listeners because that spider just needs to know.
It was just, it was a good, it was a dog mom moment. It wasn't even about the spider. It was just one of those like miserable dog mom, like, are you effing kidding me? Yes, exactly. Go out. I'm like, I got my shit together. I'm going to go take Albie on a run. And he's doing better in the car now. So we drove to a park. And so we like start our little jog. I've got my new like bungee leash that he runs with me. Run. So he like poops at the beginning of the run. I'm like, great, cool. It was at the beginning. Yeah. We're still near some trash bins. Great. Pick it up. I'm like, okay, there's a trash bin. It's kind of like, I decided to take a shortcut through like a wooded little path.
That was
the mistake because I ran smack dab into a full spider web. Not like one of those little strands crossing the path, but like full spider web right in the face. Like my eyes were still open and everything. And I was like, ah, and like, you know, like wiped it out. I'm not scared of spiders, but it was just like yeah, walking into it was just, you know, and so it's like pulling it out of my hair, like just like off of my face, out of my hair. And I knocked my headphone out in all of my commotion. And so my little ear pod rolls down this really steep hill next to me.
That you were trying to avoid.
Yes, trying to avoid this hill. And then so it rolls down and I was just like, okay, like finally, like, okay, spider web is off me. I look for it now. It's gone. I can't find it. And I was just like, oh my God. And so I'm like, I need to like scavenge around this hill, but it's steep. So I'm like, okay. So I'm trying to like shuffle down it sideways. And Albie is so excited because he's.
Wait. What did you do with the poop?
Oh, I put it down. For a little bit, it was like swinging around in my hand for a little bit. That was miserable. That was like, it was stinky still. And it was just like swinging around. I was like, no, I put that down. Yeah. And that's a good question. Yeah. And then my only moment of sanity in this whole story. And then Albie was like, cool, we're going downhill. And he's a super athletic dog. So he's like, parkour, and just sprints down. Well, he's still attached to me with his bungee. And so I'm like, he's just going and I'm just using these like trees as like stopping posts to trying to like shuffle down this dusty, steep little incline. It's like a cartoon. It honestly, like, it was just, I'm not telling it well, and it was probably more traumatic in the moment than anyone can ever know.
I have, like, this image of you as, like, going down, like, a pinball machine.
That's literally it. That was literally it. I was like, thank God I got the boobs, because I was just, like, ramming myself. They were, like, cushions, little shock absorbers.
If you didn't have the boobs, you might have a broken rib.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It could have been really dangerous. Good thing I have so much extra padding on me. All around, I could just like pinball off of these trees. Finally, I find that AirPod. It was very dirty, and I did have to like scavenge around, threw away the poop. I had to go back up the hill. And fortunately, I was like, Albie, pull me up. And he like kind of did. And so grab the poop, throw it away. That whole thing was just so traumatic that I was like, we're just going to the dog park. Like, we're not doing this run anymore. It's over. Like,
I've already sweated enough.
But it was just so, like, there's spider web in my hair. I'm sweating. I'm, like, all bruised up from, like, running into these trees all, like, just. And Albie's just, like, bouncing one place or next. Like, not knowing. Yeah. Not knowing, like, what the plan is. And it was just, like, one of those, like, dog mom, like, what is my life right now? Mm. Like, just like, how did I get myself into this damn situation because of this dang dog? Like, it could, if I was running alone, this would have been great. I just would have been on the path and been like, dogging. I'm so fit. And instead it was like, dog bouncing, poop bag waving, spider.
AirPod on the floor.
AirPod, like, roll it down. I had to, like, intensely clean it when I got home. Anyway. Ta-da. That was my spider story. Dog mom moment. Man. But we started thinking, if you guys have dog mom moments or like dog parent moments that are just like really funny or maybe like really miserable. Some like
commiserate with us.
Yeah.
We are lonely.
That's what we created this community for. I'll post it on our Facebook group, like a question for that. Mm. Everyone go on and comment your funny stories and then maybe we'll do a little episode with all of them.
And if this is the first time you're hearing of our Facebook community, you can join and we're the dog paparazzi.
With the dog paparazzi Facebook. It's in the show notes.
Boom, boom.
Whoop, whoop. Okay.
Okay. Back to brass tacks.
Yes.
Downtown Dog Lounge. Dun, dun, dun.
We don't even need a soundboard. We just got your singing. It's me. Your notes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. Downtown Dog Lounge. They are our guest today.
Yeah. We are speaking with Elise, who is the CEO and owner, which she started this hella long time ago, like 18 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. She had a really bad experience with her dog and she was like, I need someone who I trust, who can look after my dog and who I can call and get frequent updates and they're going to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
So she created Downtown Dog Lounge. It was just doggy daycare, very standard in the beginning. And now it's morphed into this like just incredible.
Anything and everything you would need.
Yeah. Just
doggy daycare. So it's doggy daycare during the day, Monday through Friday. You can go and your dog, drop your dog off for like an hour or all day, and then they can just play with a bunch of other dogs or not, like, you know, depending on what they need. And then there's also training and puppy classes available and
grooming.
There's overnight boarding in case you go, you know, if you're on vacation. I know like dogs sitting and having them at someone's house is also like a really big thing, but also like having them in a boarding facility where they're just around other dogs and just happy, and then have their own little place at night where it's like this deluxe cabin and you can see them, you know,
through the webcam.
It's just,
it's amazing. They're opening a bar in September, which is basically an indoor outdoor dog park where owners can have a drink.
Yeah.
Chill, watch their dogs do cute things with other dogs who are also doing cute things. Very excited for that launch. Yeah. Me and Carly are definitely going to be there. So if you want to meet us in the flesh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm actually going to put makeup on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't even know when it is, but I've already decided I'm going to put makeup on.
I'm so impressed with you.
Good job. I know. I might even like do my hair. I don't know. Get crazy.
I'm excited to see you.
Me too.
I won't even know. Me I won't too. Even know who you are.
Neither will I.
Yes. So that's launching in September. They are a small business. And so she does say this in there, you know, anything any of our listeners can do to help them as well is awesome because, you know, during COVID, like a lot of small businesses are struggling and Downtown Dog Lounge has so many services that they provide. It's you can help in, you know, buying treats from them and like they have a bunch of like they're you can buy food from them and all that.
Yeah, they have a bakery as well where you can go and buy dog treats. So definitely check them out. I think it's in Fremont.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. DDL Bakery. And yeah, Elise is a badass too.
Badass bitch. But she's not a bitch. She's actually really lovely.
She was so cool. So like she was just, you know what? I'm a dog mom. And there's a, you know, there's a gap in this market and I'm going to fill it. And
I feel like I see a trend with our guests where they're just like, it just seems so simple, where they're like, this is what I need. So I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And then it's successful.
And then they do.
And I'm like, I have so much self-doubt. I don't think I can do this.
What?
And
Izzy, our podcast is going to be successful.
It is successful.
It is. We have more than one listener, so just then and there.
Exactly. And it's not us.
Yeah. It's not just our parents.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, Downtown Dog Lounge, super stoked to have them on. Enjoy.
Let's get into it.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think we're all set to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's jump into
it. Get into it.
Yeah. If you want to tell the listeners, who even are you? As I bash my head against the screen. Boom.
That's our question of like, let us know, like, who are you? Tell us about your life, your dogs, you know, Downtown Dog Lounge, all of that. Just
everything in a nutshell.
Who even are you?
Who even am I? I am
I have been, well, my name is Elise and I'm a business owner, small business owner in Seattle. I never thought I'd be a business owner, but I own the Downtown Dog Lounge and I'm expanding after 18 years into some other avenues of bakery and dog bars and things like that. But my primary, you know, I went to college in North Carolina, grew up on the East Coast, had a dog as a kid where the dog stayed in the mud room, right? Wasn't really allowed to be in the house. And if he ever did get in the house, he peed on mom's speaker. So he was a bad dog.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, just kind of growing up with that, I always wanted to be a vet, but just didn't think I quite had the academics to, you know, support it. So I went to school in the South, studied business and got into sales right away. But when I finally got to the West Coast and I got my own dog as an adult, I just realized not only the commitment, which I was totally down with, I trying to, you know, be in a career and be there for your dog or travel. I was traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog got sick, got bloat, and I didn't even know what bloat was. And I felt like I'm an educated woman. How could I have missed that? And luckily she did survive, but it was just a really horrendous situation because I was here single, you know, on my own, no family to help when I had to take her in for surgery and, you know, 100-pound dog with an incision from here to here. It just was a lot to learn. I thought my vet would have talked to me about it. So I kind of had this mission as she was recovering on my lap, literally. I called my boss and said, I'm giving you my notice and I'm starting a dog pet sitting business, just something so I could be with this girl for whatever time she has left.
Yeah.
And I still get choked up about it. That's kind of how it all started. But I've just always been an animal lover. I've been in business, you know, for as long as I can remember. I love working. I love working hard. And when you're really passionate about it, that's really, I think, what's driven, you know, the business and just all the successes that we've had and the things that people appreciate our business is because I just feel very strongly that dogs need a safe and comfortable place to be and that it's important as a pet parent to have peace of mind. When I used to drop my dog off years ago, before daycares or, you know, modern types of boarding facilities existed, there was a wall and your dog went behind there and you never got to see anything. There was no reports. There were no calls. There was no webcams, no photos, no confirmation how your dog really was doing. So for me, it was just really, what would I want for my dog? I want to know she's really okay. I mean, I know my dogs are all high maintenance, neurotic, and not easy, right? And I wanted the truth and I wanted to find a place that she could actually thrive in. So that kind of was the plant for doing, you know, dog daycare.
Yeah. And so Downtown Dog Lounge is, you have multiple locations. Can you expand and tell our listeners a little bit more about them?
For sure. We have three locations. One is in South Lake Union on Amazon campus. That's open to the public, but it's right there on campus. They're all 24-hour facilities. We also have one in Ballard, and that's an indoor-outdoor, a fabulous outdoor yard. You saw that today.
Yeah. Oh, so impressive. I was so blown away.
And nobody really knows it. It just looks like this cute little place from the outside, but then there's this glorious outdoor play yard with faux grass and, you know, structures for them. That's in Ballard. Again, that's 24-hour service. And then we have one in Elliott. Most of our locations are pretty big. They're either 10 to 15,000 square feet with all indoor facility or indoor outdoors, usually anywhere, you know, around 7,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. So we can separate the pups based on their age or their size and how they like to play or not. That's my dog. And it just, it gives them a place, whether it's just a safe place that their parents are looking for to keep them while they're traveling or at work. And then, or it's just, you know, you've got a crazy, hyper energetic, I have Weimaraners, anything in that category of Vizslas, you know, boxers, labs that just really need constant, you know, energy to get their energy out. And then I think right now too, unfortunately with COVID, it's actually brought some anxiety on for dogs and their parents probably too, right?
Yeah.
Home with our dogs all the time. So the three locations are run 24 hours for the most part, and people could drop their dog off for an hour or for the half day, full day. And then we offer grooming services where we can get do baths and haircuts, nail polishes. We can get really froofy with a Seahawks mohawk if we need to. That's not the mainstream. I mean, the main thing that people really are looking for is a safe place for daycare and boarding. And, you know, just keeping their dogs healthy. So we offer food and retail snacks, you know, just novelty items in our retail as well. But I think because of the experience with my dog, I wanted it to be not just a store where you go in and you sell things, but a place where people could go for information and say, I've never been a dog owner, or the way I was raised with my dog is completely different from the kind of parent, you know, and life that I want to provide for my pet today. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that because I'm that person. So it's been really fun just kind of watching people gravitate toward it. You know, people want to do fun things with their dogs and they want to, I mean, nothing makes you, it's like we've given birth to our dogs. You know, when someone comes over and says, dog is gorgeous, you're like, yeah.
It's so true. That's, I just put it like on my Instagram story the other day. I was like, nothing makes you feel more fulfilled than when your kids are living their best life and happy. And it was just like my dogs out sitting in the sun.
Yeah. So I think I might have seen that from you because I remember I saw that the other day and was like, wow, like it really struck me because, you know, you do, you want them to be so happy, right? And it's almost like, oh, you don't really say that about your dog. But yeah, you do. Amongst your dog community, we all get it.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
yeah. Sure. No, agreed. I think the story that you just told as far as like how Downtown Dog Lounge got started was so empowering. And as like a dog mom, because that was similar, I think, to what we're experiencing with the podcast. You know, we're like, you know, your dog got bloat. My dog has had medical issues. And it's like, God, I work in the animal community and I didn't even, like, I didn't know about this. Like, I thought I was educated and just going out and doing something about it. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with the podcast as well is like, okay, I didn't know about this. Who else doesn't? Let's fix that. And so, yeah, I think having somewhere for your dog to go that they are safe and happy and also like enriched and fulfilled, you know, it's not just a walk around the block. It's a run around.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, I mean, especially in this area, but you know, in a busy city where people are working 9-10 hour days and they come home and maybe they can't give them, you know, the walk that they want to because they're just mentally, physically, spiritually exhausted. And just being able to come home and be like, my dog was looked after. He's worn out. He's happy. Now I can kind of decompress and spend some quality time with my dog and without getting frustrated too and being like, why are you being crazy right now? I just want to eat my dinner and then I will take you out.
Yeah.
One of the greatest rewards, it's very simple, but it means so much to me, is that when I get a customer who sends either a selfie with his dog sacked out in the back on their way home, or just a picture of their dog going, doggy daycare went great today. Because I know how busy they are and the fact that they can work and do all the things that they're committed to, but still know it's not that I don't care about my dog. I'm giving him the absolute best care that I can by providing, you know, that's what I'm saying, the owner to say by having them in a facility like that. So, and the webcams make it fun because they show their friends at work and it becomes a social thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love to talk to dog people. And when we find a great place to bathe our dog or a story, right? Something about a medical situation to go, oh yeah, I worry about my dog's choking too. And certain recommendations, it's so important to, you know, get that community together. Cause
I can imagine if, especially with you being on the Amazon campus, you know, there must be so many people at Amazon who have their dogs there. And I can just imagine me being one of them, not that I work at Amazon, but if I ever did, being like, oh, look at little Arthur playing with little Billy Joe.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think having the Amazon location is so smart because I've worked in an office where, or I've almost always been able to bring my dog to work. And I recently worked in an office where there were lots of dogs there and it was great. But sometimes like it's actually not that, like it's nice for you to be able to bring your dog, but also something, it can be very distracting in the workplace sometimes. And other dogs can then distract your dogs. And, you know, it can kind of create this like domino effect. And so I think it's so nice that it's like, okay, bring, you know, Fido in the morning and drop him off at Downtown Dog Lounge. He's tired, you know, grab him again at lunchtime and then bring, you know, and then he can sleep under the desk for the rest of the day or whatever at Amazon or however. Like that's so smart.
The perfect scenario.
It is. It really is.
We thought, oh, a lot of the people will be traveling, right? They'll be traveling and that'll be the biggest part of it. But we're thinking, because if they can have their dog, if it were me, I'd have my dog at my desk all day long, right? But what they do is exactly what you said, bring them in the morning, get them worked up so they're tired by the time they have other things going on, right? Or they'll just, you know, let them stay at work. And then when they have their meetings or their lunch, they'll bring them into the lounge for an hour or two or get them bathed or groomed. And then they pick them up and they smell wonderful. They're tired because they've been standing or playing, right?
Yeah.
They go back and they're like the perfect pooch in front of all their, you know, workmates.
Exactly. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Well, okay. Before we get too deep into talking how great you are and your business is, let's, for the listeners, what is doggy daycare and why is it so beneficial for dogs out there? Like why should people, you know, consider it?
Doggy daycare, it really has only been around, I'd say around 20 years. And even that, it's had a very slow progression. But I think the biggest benefits are more people can have dogs, right? There's a lot more singles that don't have family or, you know, other people that can help them with their dogs. And by bringing your dog, having your dog in daycare, that allows you to work and be committed. It gives your dog the socialization that they need rather than just having them cooped up. They get exercise. I mean, for me, like I said, it's always peace of mind. I know my dog's having a good time and I don't feel guilty. Part of it is that, truly. but I know that they're safe, right? And I happen to have anxious dogs. And I think that whether your dog's anxious or energetic, you know, or even senior and you're afraid they're going to, you know, fall off of a chair or whatever could happen, you've got people that are there and they're giving them tender, loving care and attention, you know, and if you're all of a sudden going into a seizure, whether you know that's something that you expect or it's just you feel better. I mean, I've always had webcams on my dogs at home, but for me to drop them off at work and have someone call me and say, your dog just doesn't quite seem like herself today. You know, we really want to have a high level of communication with our customers so they feel like, you know, it's not just dropping your dog off to get them really tired. I mean, some people it definitely is.
Yeah.
If there are some real, you know, needs, whether they're emotional needs for your dog, or for you, there's just, there's so many benefits for, you know, just to get them, whether it's social or exercise.
Yeah. I bet it must be really nice for owners to know that it's not only them that cares so much about their dog. Like there is someone else who can maybe pick up on something that you wouldn't necessarily see or wouldn't know about. I mean, we were just saying how, you know, we've worked in the business and there are some things where we're like, I didn't know that was a thing I needed to look out for. Right. And, you know, it's nice to have that extra set of eyes to educate and to say, actually, yeah, you know, this was a problem when Fido first started, but, you know, 2 weeks later and we can see an improvement and that's great. And that must just be really nice for people, like a little safety net.
With everything, with training or just, you know, my dog is a little kooky when he's on a leash, you know, or he just goes after, he's a good dog, but he's least aggressive when he gets around people and he's on the leash. Those are things that happen. It doesn't mean you have a rotten dog by any means. It's just, there are, you know, things that you can talk to in the, within the community and go like, how can I curb that? Or when we would offer a guided, when we were, you know, fuller before COVID, we would offer guided tours with our trainer and it was dogs that had issues on a leash. And we'd have a group of, you know, 5 to 10 people. And they would walk through campus with all the distractions and everything that's happening. And you had leash aggressive dogs. And it was really neat to watch them go single profile. And with each walk, they all got better and better and better. And it was a problem because their parents almost got to the point where I don't want to walk them. Made the situation worse. But those are the kind of things that we want to help people with to go, you know, we want non-dog people to appreciate dogs too, right? And I think there's a certain level of commitment that we have to do as dog parents and owners, you know, just to make sure that our dogs are happy and that we're, you know, doing our part in the community.
Yeah.
I love that you said that too about the leash reactivity, because I think a lot of people may shy away from doggy daycare because they think that their dog is maybe not conducive to an environment where there's other dogs around, like lots of other, they're thinking, oh, you know, maybe he's a little spicy when he gets around a bunch of different dogs, or he likes to herd and some dogs don't like that, or like whatever. Yeah. And so it sounds like you guys are able to work with those type of behaviors. So like what requirements kind of does the dog need to meet to be in a doggy daycare?
We're able to work with most behaviors. There are some issues that it depends. And that's why it's really nice that we have three different types of location and indoor, outdoor, large, small, because it makes a difference for each dog. But as far as we have the evaluation for the dogs, right? They all come in and we try to get an idea for what is the need of the parent, right? Is it, I'm traveling, I haven't traveled and this is the first overnight, or are you looking for exercise? Your dog's overweight or just kind of sluggish, and what's the real need? But we do the evaluation, and that's just to kind of get to know their behavior. We, it's really important that parents are honest with us too, because if there are any kind of lunging issues, if we know that, it helps us assess what's going on with the dog and just the parameters, the boundaries, right, that we want to establish with them. Most dogs do really well. Most dogs love to play. They're social beings, right? They love to sniff and they accept each other, and they have sort of this way of, you know, that they can communicate. And our staff is trained really well to be able to see that most times in advance. But I think that just you fill out the application and being really honest with that, once the dog goes into the park, we never want to force a dog in the park. We want to make sure that they're going in on their own. But some dogs might just go into the senior center, and they might not be that old, but it might be a dog that just likes to sit steady and doesn't want other dogs. They're kind of grouchy, you know, something mm-hmm. like that.
It sounds like you guys are willing to work. It's not just this hard and fast line of like, I'm sorry, your dog has had an issue once yeah. upon a time when, you know, 3 years ago or whatever, yeah. like it's a no. Like it sounds like you guys have different options for different dogs.
We do. I mean, if there's human aggression, that's something we really don't want to endanger our staff with. So we would recommend them usually outside. We normally have a trainer that'll do one-on-one training that we do in-house and group training. We'll also do it at home, or a lot of times, especially at Amazon, we do threshold training, which is in their work environment, because sometimes dogs will get, possessive over their space, their workspace. It's mom's workspace. Now it's mine, and there's other dogs around, right? Now they want to get possessive with that. So we'll do training with them there. But I think the main goal is to try to figure out what the parents are looking for. And then if we have to have one-on-one training, and I think that's great for anyone. It's like, even with kids, right? We don't just go, hey, get it right there and you're good.
Yeah.
They need the same thing. And I think a lot of times we just get like, oh, they're fine. They're fine. But we do want to work with dogs, because I think it's stressful on anyone yeah. in a family to have a dog that doesn't behave well, or that is overly anxious, or a chronic barker, or, you know, constantly pulling food off the, you know, counters. And my dog has done all of these things. Yeah. Embarrassed to say.
Yeah. I mean, Arthur, who is he licking your feet?
I don't know. He's just hanging out.
He's hanging out.
Yeah.
But he's just a nutball, but he has some leash aggression for sure. And it is super stressful just going out for a walk. This morning, thank God, it was like 5 a.m. because we had just such the best time. It was amazing. Like, not one incident, but usually he's like, you know, barking at the other dog, or he sees a squirrel and he's barking at the squirrel. And then he sees someone with a hat on and he doesn't like the hat. So he's barking at that guy. And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. So it's nice to know that there's support out there, because, you know, we have been working with him, and he's getting there.
It's a
long journey, but he's getting there. But it's just such a load off your mind to know that there's people out there who are rooting for you and who are giving you advice and not telling you that, you know, you're a bad parent, because there is always that asshole at the dog park who is like so quick to shame people yeah. about what they're doing. And it's like, hey,
like, this is great for him.
Love my dog. Yeah. This has never happened before ever. So leave me alone.
Izzy has some residual trauma.
I do. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, it's nice to know that, because so like my dog Albus, he needs some training with being in the car. And so, or just like also some other training in general. We've only had him for a few months. So we kind of let him ease into the home. And then now we're going to ramp up the training a little bit. But it takes time to train yeah. your dog. So the fact that they can get training while they're also getting exercise yeah. and enrichment, and they're also,
and
yeah, yeah. Like you're at work, like, it, you know, if you're working that long day, the fact that they can go and be completely taken care of, you know, as you said, a groom, a training, a, like exercise. Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. the dream.
It is right? the dream.
And I think, you know, people with kids or without kids, but I think especially without kids, when you have that income that you can, or just that you have that need because you don't have someone else at home to take care of them, it makes the difference in your productivity at work, or if you're on a trip to go see your family. Like, I can't focus. I can't have fun or do anything well if I don't feel like my house and my home and my pets and everyone is taken care of, right?
Yeah.
So that's sort of where I think it just was because I thought of all the little things that I'm like, people are going to think I'm nuts. All the things that are really important to me, right? Anal retentive or over the top, whatever. And then you see other people that are just like, absolutely, that's exactly what I want for my dog. Can you get a webcam that goes just on my dog so I can see her when she sleeps? And we're like, why not? You know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of sleeping, so you offer, you said all the locations are 24 hours. So this is, so you offer the doggy daycare during the day, but then you also have boarding overnight.
Yeah. So we're 24/7 and Monday through Friday, we have daycare 7 to 7 and you can always do earlier, you know, after hours pickups. Cause we do have a lot of essential workers that pick up and go start their jobs at midnight. Right. So we work around that kind of thing one by one, but yeah, we have an overnight, we call it a night owl. And that's a working shift. And they are totally with the dogs. Granted, a lot of the dogs are sleeping, but they get a let out if they get any kind of bedtime, you know, peanut butter Kong service or anything like that. They're taking photos and making sure the parents get texts to kind of let them know how their dog's doing if they've missed more than two meals. But an overnight is really special one-on-one care. Every dog gets their own space and it's a nice roomy space. You can get in a deluxe cabin where we play, you know, Mozart and we have lavender spritzing at night and, you know, it's just a nice cozy place. And then we have some dogs who have never been crated. So they need like a homey leather couch. They sleep in the office with the manager, or we have, you know, just all different types of spaces for them. And usually by a full day, they are, if they're in boarding, they're usually in daycare. After a full day of daycare, they are whooped.
Yeah. I bet they don't care where they sleep.
Yeah.
Much more quiet. Not to say they wouldn't start barking if, you know, there was a siren or something, but they're really tired and they've had a really, you know, good day with lots of things going on and dogs to smell and friends to make. And I just can't think of anything cooler I would want for my dog.
Yeah.
And my dogs are getting older now, so they just sleep when I'm not home. But yeah, in their prime, they'd be running all over a dog daycare.
Oh, I bet.
I can imagine. And so you said you have all of these different spaces and like couches or, you know, the deluxe cabin. Apart from like what you provide for the dogs, how do you create that home away from home vibe for the dogs and I guess for the humans as well? Because, you know, humans need to feel like they're at home to, you know, feel that their dog is safe.
Without a doubt. I mean, there is the safety that we have to keep in mind at all times. So I'd love to have an open forum where there was no crates, kennels, anything like that, but it's just impossible to do that 24/7. So I love the idea that the dogs play and then they're tired and they're sleeping and they're sleeping really comfortably. But when a client comes in and they let us know what their needs are, even if they just come in for daycare initially, and then all of a sudden it's like, I've got a family trip at Christmas. I'm worried. I've never left her before. We try to get to know like what we are never going to be able to mimic your home, but we're going to try to do things as much as possible. We want your dog to stay on the same food. Like dogs like routine, right? If they've got a favorite blanket or a toy, we want them to have that with them, the smells, right? We ask that you bring a worn t-shirt or a towel that you've dried yourself with, so it has your scent, and we lay that on their bedding. And then just really just making it a quiet environment when they're ready to sleep. But if a dog's not wanting to sleep, where I think we're very attentive, we have what we call pooch nannies that, especially during holidays, that'll go in and really tend to just special situations because not every dog is going to board comfortably, right?
Right.
But I think the peace of mind for clients is to give them the things that you could at home, know that they're in a safe place. And if they're not doing well there, we're going to remove them, find a safe place or contact you. And we're going to work this through together. Having the webcams is tremendous because whether it's day or night, you get to go, oh, she's doing great. Or, you know, call and say, how come she's sitting in the corner? She doesn't look comfortable. Let's try to move her to a different park. Mm-hmm. Like it's really a collaborative way of trying to make sure that their dog is comfortable and that the client's comfortable. Cause sometimes it's really about what they want. Right.
Yeah.
For us, we really want it to be about, it is always about the dog. When they get their dog and they get reports and they know that their dog did well and they know my dog missed the first two meals, which is not uncommon in a new environment, but we hand fed her. Sorry, we know that's not, you know, appropriate, but we gave her a little extra love just to make sure she's eating and pictures of them eating a peanut butter Kong. Just really, we create a bond and a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we work really hard at keeping our staff happy and loving. They love what they do. But I think that's a really big important part too, because our standards are very high. It's not like, oh, just coming and playing with dogs, you know, puppies and rainbows. There's a messy part of it. Dogs are messy. They do stink. They sometimes vomit, you know, things happen, but, we just really try to be really very transparent and give people, you know, just the facts. If their dog doesn't thrive, we let them know and they're give them alternatives. Might not be with us, but maybe in other places. But I definitely don't ever want to be a facility that just says, yeah, your dog is great. Get her in there. It's another number. We do high volume and we've grown over 18 years, but we've got 90. Normally we have 92 employees. And so for every, you know, 10 to 15 dogs, we have one person on staff so that we really can be attentive to what's going on. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that's just amazing. Just as a small business owner, like to me, that's not a small business. That's like, pretty big.
Yeah.
That's nearly 100 people. That's crazy.
Yeah. And you've grown with the need, it sounds like, too, that, you know, that 10 to 15 dogs, it's a good amount. And, you know, you're not, as you said, the dogs aren't a number. It's a collaborative, you know, work environment between the owner, the dog, and your staff of like making sure that dog is happy. So that's amazing. Yeah. Speaking of the staff, though, what kind of like requirements or training or whatever do they go through to be? I mean, because when I visited today, like, oh my gosh, they had their headsets on. Of course, they all had their masks on too because of COVID. But they were, I mean, they looked so dialed in. And this is from, you know, Izzy and I worked at the shelter where we're dealing with high volume dogs. And, you know, you've got like a leash wrapped around your waist. So you're just like, you know, you change of clothes just in case and, you know, and all of that. So like what is their experience, I guess, as far as the staff, like what kind of training or whatever do they need to do? And what does their day look like?
Well, first let me just stop blushing and oozing from how good it feels to hear you say that. Cause I take that so, you know, personal, my staff is, I consider them my family. I'm asking them to take care of someone else's family member. So I don't take it lightly. Although I feel like people come to us because they love dogs, number one, and that's just a given. There's no question that they have to work really hard. Our standards are high. We put them through a training, both online and in the park. So even if they started as a concierge or a trainer, we want them to start training in the parks to understand about dog behavior, but on a very different level, because we might have two or three dogs growing up, but here we're in a pack environment, right? And you've got very different behaviors and the safety factor could go wrong in a heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that they're trained for that and that we're allowing the right dogs in and working with the ones that don't do well. But as far as the staff, they have to be patient. I totally welcome them exercising, you know, their own, whether it's tattoos, colored hair, you know, be different, be unique. We are so friendly to every gender, race, you name it. They have to love dogs. They have to be patient and they just have to have a very high level of integrity, because I don't want to cut corners as a business owner and as a human being myself. I don't ever want to cut corners. I'd like people to be straightforward with me. I'm from New Jersey. I'm just that way. to people, I think sometimes out here, because training staff of 90 people, I am so busy. Sometimes I go in and I'm like, it looks great, but this, and this, and we need to change that. And it's not really me wanting to just tell everyone what to do, but the time is really short. And I want to make sure that, you know, when you have five different locations, you want to make sure that those really important things are there for the safety, for the customer service, for the staffing to know that we're always here to back them. You know, even right now with times of COVID, like us being, I hear as we hire back our employees that they're like, wow, I've never seen a company that's so behind, or I've worked with another company now and with you guys in the training that we do with COVID. Like, we really do take it seriously. And I think that the impression, whether this is their first job, and a lot of them it is. So to answer your question, no, they don't have to have dog experience. But if they've got a can-do personality, they have hustle, we will take them on. If they've got dog experience, we just want to make sure that, you know, they're always friendly to the dogs. We don't allow any. We have zero tolerance for any kind of aggression or anything like that. And we have a certain way of doing things and a certain level of, you know, boundaries that we accept, right, mm-hmm. in our business. And it's, you know, it's stress sometimes, you know, when you think about a holiday. Holidays are our biggest time of year. We could have 150 to 200 dogs in the house at one location at any given time between daycare, boarding, grooming, training. So it takes someone who's going to be able to communicate well with the team. If you've got 10 or 10, 12 team members, and we're talking about, you know, dogs that need an insulin shot, dogs that maybe might be seizure prone and they wear a medical tag that we can identify them with to make sure that they get even more one-on-one attention and notes. It's not all just fluff and playing with puppies.
Yeah.
And I like that though, because I feel so honored that someone would, you know, entrust their me to take care of their dog, right? Yeah. One of my favorite stories is that we had a customer who came in and said, I haven't had a vacation in 10 years. And when I asked how old her dog was, she said 10. And then she went on vacation and she had the vacation of her life. And she's a lifelong, you know, client for whatever, you know, time this dog had left. And I was like, that is tremendous to me, just to make her feel like she deserves a vacation. Of course she does. And so does her dog. So we'll make that part happen.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I think, you know, even in the shelter, it's very entry level. And it is like the, I think when I look back at my own career and my first job, I'm just so thankful at the people who trained me, because they trained me well and they were firm, but they just told me how things needed to be done and they communicated why. And I think that's why I'm where I'm at today, because of the training that these people just wanted to take a chance on me for, I don't know why. Thank you. If you're listening, you're probably not, but it's great. You know, it's, and I think a lot of people just don't even really think of dog care as a profession. And unless you're talking like vet tech or veterinary assistant, I just don't think people think of it as a profession. And it really is. It takes so much hard work, and
You can't be a slacker.
You cannot.
Like if you, what you were saying with the hustle and the integrity, you cannot cut corners. You cannot be a slacker. And if you are, you just flat out don't last very long in that career. You're there for a few months, and we saw it at the shelter. Mm-hmm. And it actually creates, and I'm sure your staff probably feels the same, it creates this great bond between each other, because you know that the person next to you, like even if you don't mesh like personality wise or something, right, you know that they have integrity. They are picking up the poop right next to you. They are working for the animals of, and you all have this like mission and goal, and you're working just as hard as the next person. And it bonds, I think it bonds the staff in a way. Mm-hmm. Like when I moved into an office environment with my career, it honestly, I was just like,
do you come to work?
People are slackers that causing drama. Like I was just like, what is this? Like I'm used to everyone just like hustling all day, every day, and problems all day.
So, and sometimes just being busy is the best way about doing that, because if there's no downtime, there's no time for the bullshit. Like, and I don't mean that to me, but we're just focused on the dogs and what we're here for, and our mission is to offer a fantastic service. There's no reason why we can't do it and do it with integrity, you know, and have a great time. That is really important. Yeah. Right? Like I love when employees go home or they post a picture and say, oh, my favorite pup was in today, and tell a story about, you know, it's cool.
It's nice. And so talking about hustle, how do you manage all of those different dog sites? So the different personalities, the ages, the dietary restrictions, how does that all plan out?
Yeah.
On a day to day. I couldn't even fathom like trying to create a plan for that many dogs running around.
That's a funny question. How do we plan for it? So after 18 years, we just started taking reservations for daycare for the first time, July 1st. So we have just taken whatever came our way, as long as they were evaluated in the house. Right. Mm-hmm. But our way of managing all the behaviors is, it's pretty structured. You can't just come in and just drop your dog. You have to be greeted and talk to we need information. We need to make sure your vaccinations are up to date, which is why now we really encourage the reservations, so we can do all that in advance and make sure that we're staffed properly. Because part of the deal is, if we don't have the right staffing and we have 30 dogs that we didn't really expect, those dogs are going to either go in rotations longer. They're not going to get as much play time. There's just a lot of things that factor. So I think if people want their dogs well taken care of, the reservations help us do that. We have an alert system that lets us know, though, this dog is green. It's his first day. Definitely, you know, we're paying attention. We're writing report cards. We're communicating with mom. This dog might have a medical issue. So she wears a red alert, and that indicates that we've got to look up more information, or they might have an allergy or something like that. Same thing with behavior. When it comes to different sizes, we have a big dog, small dog, and then we have a senior center and a puppy nursery. So those four kind of make it work. If you're under 16 weeks or you haven't been spayed or neutered, you're in puppy nursery. If you've got all your vaccinations and you're spayed and neutered, you can go into one of the parks, but we want to make sure small dogs and puppies don't get, you know, a big Great Dane stomping on them. So that's you know, kind of managing the sizes. And that's also helps us, we figure out our rotations, right? If we have a lot of shepherds, huskies, and Danes, that's going to be different than if we've got, you know, a lot of GSPs and, you know, smaller breeds. So they go into different parks, they get their rotations, which they love really, because they need a break just like we do. If we don't get a break from work just for 5 minutes, you know, to get a drink or use the restroom, they need that. But I think the daycare dogs get to know each other because a lot of them are regulars, right? I come every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or I see the same dogs every Tuesday. So they know each other. It gets a little more stressful when you're doing boarding dogs because a lot of those dogs don't know. They don't board. They don't do daycare. And then they all come in and their dog's in a bit of a crisis situation for 10 days because mom and dad just went off to Fiji or something, you know? And that's where you've got a lot of high-strung dogs that are not in their norm. They didn't bring their t-shirts or the things that remind them of home. And it is, it's hard on a dog. So just let me go back to my staff on that one because I have to share, this is amazing. I will walk in sometimes, especially around a holiday when we see a dog who isn't used to boarding, and there'll be a staff member sitting on the floor and cuddling a dog or laying on the floor, just rubbing his belly and, you know, just till the dog calms down. And then to me, that is really what we're here for. You know, we can't do that with every dog all the time. But when you see that dog has a need rather than just going, oh, he's stressed out.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. So this has happened to me 3 times today. Look in my eyes. So I'm trying my hardest to hold back tears because that's so cute. And it happened to me, earlier today, twice. I saw a cute dog and it made me want to cry. And then I saw this other dog putting his arm around another dog and they were like sleeping together. Anyway, but that just made me want to cry. Like I just thought of Arthur being so scared and not knowing where I am. And then someone just like giving him lots of attention and making sure he's okay. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's so, so
you're going to cry too.
You're going to make, God, you're making me emotional, Izzy. I was a badass person before.
Very emotional. I don't even want to say business, but pets are, it's an emotional part, right? They're our family. So I totally get feeling that way. Yeah. I do that about dogs that I don't even know. It's their first time, but sometimes you could see the passion or the love that the parents have for them or that the dogs have for their parents when they're leaving or their angst. And I just love that I've had the opportunity to be able to take care of that and, you know, hopefully soothe a few souls in the process, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh.
Okay, well, let's bring it on to something a little bit happier and a little bit lighter.
Before I stop bawling my eyes out.
So what, it sounds like you are expanding into more of the different areas you kind of mentioned before with the bakery and all that. Can you tell us about all of the services you offer currently and then how you're expanding?
Yeah, so currently the Dog Lounge has the 3 locations in the city and we're all 24/7. We did cut our hours back at Elliott location just because of COVID. And we're trying to make sure that we stay strong as a small business. I'd love to be completely positive and say everything is fantastic. It's a mess. What COVID is doing, right? Just to our society in general. And it's brought a lot of fear and that's causing a lot of problems for dogs at home. And some others are just like, I love it because my parents are home. but as a small business, it's been really tough. So if I can put a plug in to just say, come check us out. Even if you don't think you need daycare, maybe you could buy your food or see if we can cut your dog's nails or anything like that. We definitely appreciate it. But the business is, I'm the sole owner. I've done it with the dogs that I've had throughout the years because they're so important to me. And, I now have a daughter who's 16, who is an absolute animal lover. And she's, you know, with me every day right now, you know, at work and learning the business, but she says, Mom, I don't want to have to work that hard. So I'm like, we're going to do one more thing. And that was, with the dog daycare, it's daycare boarding, grooming training, and we're offering enrichment and puppy classes. We've done, breed play dates at our Ballard location. And that's the outdoor area where the parents could come in and we've had Frenchies or Corgis and it would be like 60 Corgis with their parents and talk about wild times, right?
Oh yeah. My gosh. That makes me want to have a heart attack.
We did that and they're always super successful. And we went and got a liquor license to be able to make it more festive. And I just got to the point where I was like, the peace of mind that I want people to feel when they're boarding their dogs and having their dogs for daycare should be completely separate from not necessarily the party, because it's always controlled, but the party that's going on in the park. So we started thinking maybe we need to separate this completely and open up a yard, a park, or a bar that really is made for dogs. It's not a bar that allows dogs, but it's a really fun place for dogs to run around on boulders. We have zip lines that we're creating, different types of sprinkler systems, and pools of balls, pools of water, just really fun for dogs. Indoors, it's heated floors. It's got a fireplace, and it's completely just all leather couches, and a fun little retail shop with treats and an ice cream bar. And you can get really cool, trendy beer and wine and seltzer that's in cans. We don't serve cups or anything like that. We'll have food trucks in that can serve on weekends, and maybe some live music, but just a way to unwind. So for maybe people that don't want to do dog daycare, but they work and they want to come home and have, you know, just something quick to eat or a couple of drinks and let their dog play ball. So that was the idea of the yard bar. We quickly found out that that name was taken. So we decided to call it the dog yard, which is really what it is. It's a dog yard before it is anything else. So things work out for a reason. Yeah. That's in Ballard. That's set to open hopefully in September. It's been delayed, but it's going to be really well worth it. It's so much bigger than anything I really had planned for it to be. But we're turning an old mechanic shop into this indoor outdoor amazing place for people and their dogs, just with, you know, awnings for shelter. So we'll have outdoor heaters when it's cold, when it's raining. It's just take care of your dog regardless of what Seattle brings, right?
Yeah, that sounds so cool.
That's so cool.
I know.
We're super excited. We're super excited.
We'll be there at the launch.
Yes.
First in line.
Yeah.
We have to do a podcast for the opening. That would be so fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So one of the things. And then we also, in our retail, we really, because my dog was in bloat early in the early years, I think experience is what helps us come up with a lot of the things we do in our lives. I feel like we need to have, I want to have really good quality products. And we were ordering bakery products and birthday things from a lot of companies that were not local. Mm-hmm. And we decided that something came about in Fremont, and we thought, why don't we just open up a dog bakery and we'll provide our own treats that are our own brand in-house for what we know that our clients want.
Yeah.
And then it's a tiny little place in Fremont, but it's turned into a really cute boutique-y retail shop with the most adorable bacon and egg, you know, pumpkin treats and stuffed cannolis and homemade birthday cakes, and everything is custom. So it's fresh and it's just a blast. I love it because there's a certain level of stress that comes when you're taking care of dogs 24/7. And we do that at the dog lounge, and we're happy, grateful for that. Right. Mm-hmm. But in the bakery, it's nothing but just waddling corgis and feisty Frenchies coming on in, because they're like, it's Saturday morning and I want my treat. So we do serve beer and wine and seltzer there too. And it's a bar where your dog can actually come up to the big marble slab and pick what they want. But we're human grade and we're certified for food service. So we serve some specialty items. One is a corgi bun, and it's literally a corgi butt, two cheeks in their tail, that we stuff with artichokes, ricotta cheese, and artichokes and spinach. And it's just little fun things that we're trying to do that dog people love.
Yep.
And something that you could sit outside and have a coffee and have your corgi bun and let your dog chew on a pizzle, mm-hmm. and just have a little, you know, experience with your dog. And who I love showing my dog off. I love watching people show their dogs off. So it's kind of just a cool new place to be in Fremont.
Yeah. That sounds, oh my gosh. I'm
so excited.
I know.
I'm so excited. Okay. So when I was living in London, the laws are different there, where dogs are allowed pretty much everywhere,
right?
Yeah. And so it was so nice because I was used to, we didn't have a car and I took Lupin to work. So it was like, he literally went everywhere with me. Like I went like shopping, like clothes shopping with him. Yeah. Like literally went and bought jeans. Like, yeah. Like with him trailing behind me, this poor dog, and went in and got my, you know, grabbed my lunch on my lunch break with him trailing behind. And it was just so nice. And so when I moved back to the US, I was really feeling a little down, not only because it was like the rainiest winter ever, you know, so it was also that of like, oh, I don't even want to go out, and then COVID happens and all this, but it gives me so much excitement and hope that there's so many dog friendly places around Seattle already, and then also just cropping up even more, like the ones that you're describing. It's, you're really meeting like the dog parents' needs, which is nice.
Definitely.
My needs.
Yeah, exactly. But that's, I think you're going to see more of that, because it's like a whole part of our community that just has, you know, it's like, what do you mean I can't have my dog outside, or I can't have my dog somewhere? They have t-shirts that are like, if I can't, my dog can't go, I'm not going. People really feel that way. You know, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So I think we have to come up with different places that people can have fun with their dog, you know, and then get the services and the things they need, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Agreed. Well, to wrap it up, if you could tell all the listeners, like plug any of your info, social media, the locations, all of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we covered a lot of it, but just plug it right now. So they, if they want to follow you or visit any of the locations, they can. Well,
first off, I want to say thank you to you guys. You're fantastic. I totally enjoyed it. But the Downtown Dog Lounge has three locations. We're at South Lake Union. We're at Ballard. And we are on Elliott Avenue. You can get on our website at downtowndoglounge.com. We're on Instagram as well, Twitter. And that's Downtown Dog Lounge. We also have our bakery, which is DDL Bakery on Instagram. And we've got a website where you can order the cakes online. We do that. We're now only open 6 days a week, but we're going to seven, and we're going to reduce our hours or expand our hours so that we're open with a morning espresso. Definitely invite you to come down to see that, even if it's just get the experience. It is a really fun place. And then our Dog Yard Bar, which is Dog Yard Bar at, on Instagram. And our website is up. I believe it is. Yeah, it is dogyardbar.com. And there's not a lot of information on there, but we'll be having the memberships and doing specials and have a few parties that we're going to surprise, do pop-up parties in late August. So keep an eye on that. And yeah, just thank you again for supporting small business and for taking such great care of your dog and giving us the honor of doing it ourselves. We have so much fun doing it.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. This has been so cool just to hear all about it, because from coming from England, we just don't really have doggy daycares. Well, or there wasn't.
It's like a newer thing.
When I was there. So it's just been so much fun. And just from what it sounds like, you know, your staff, the way you guys operate, and your future just is so bright. And I just can't wait to see everything about it.
Yes.
Well, I definitely invite you guys to come in. Get on our Instagram. And anytime you guys want to come in with your dog, the treats for you guys are on the house. So
thank you. You're actually, as I dropped off the mic today when I went to visit, the Ballard location is actually really close to our new house. And I didn't realize how close it was. I was like, oh my God, I'm Lupin and Albie. I'm gonna get rid of them and they can go to doggy daycare so I can actually get stuff done every Tuesday when I edit the episode.
Yes.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah.
So,
like their time and your time, and you can have guilt-free yourself time, which you deserve, right?
Yes.
And then they get all the things they need too. So it's a win-win.
Yes.
You have to do it every day, you know?
It's the new plan.
New plan. All right. Well, thank you so much, Elise. Yeah. We will let you go. And
thank you so much for coming on. It's been so wonderful having you on.
It's been a pleasure. Now let's go give our dog some ice cream.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You can find us on Instagram at With a Dog Podcast. We have a great Facebook community called With a Dog Paparazzi. If you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends and family. All content on With a Dog Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not replace professional advice, treatment, or diagnosis by a certified veterinarian, trainer, or behaviorist.